It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, 5 o'clock, Tuesday morning, lot to do on this show, lot going on in the world of sports. Great. I have a couple of wonderful pieces of news for you, Rick. Let me say good morning before we even get rolling here on a Tuesday.
Good morning, David. I can't wait to hear these great pieces of news.
All right. Where do I start? You ready? I'm not breaking. Not necessarily breaking. But just big, solid, good pieces of news. The Superbox Bonanza that you loved last year.
Love it.
Back. Starting today.
Today?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
I figured I would just hold it and like a royal flush. There it is.
In your face.
Right in your face.
Royal flush box bonanza on a Tuesday. What's better than that?
That's right. Well, it's not just going to be a Tuesday. It's going to be every day. Every single day leading up to the Super Bowl.
Oh.
That's right. I knew this would be a lot for you. And the phone fixed. Santiago went to the non-Apple store, got the phone fixed. What do you think he spent on the phone fixing?
$70.
More.
$150.
Yeah, like was Santi, what was it, like 100 and what, 130, something like that?
Yeah, about 125.
What a waste of money. What an absolute, you know what this is like? This is like Jacksonville firing Urban Meyer and keeping Trent Baalke for some reason. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, I've well established what I'm doing.
The Cowboys gave you an opportunity.
It's out of spite now. That's what this is. It's purely out of spite.
Everything I'm doing from this point. Phone. Everything I'm doing from this point is out of spite. I have no reason to do anything else.
I gotta tell you.
That's a great way to live your life, Santiago.
Miserable Santiago is sensational. So you don't know this. So I talk to him down the line, right? On the Comrex for everyone before we go on the Zoom every morning. I said, Ray, you doing better than yesterday? He says, well, it would be hard not to be doing better than yesterday, Dave. All right. I said, you know, and it's like you, when your wife, like, no matter what it is that you say, it's not going to go well. I'm like, well, that's the situation we're in. And then he says to me, he goes, by the way, have RJ slap me today. Tell RJ just to walk up to me and open hand slap me. Today,
okay,
I'd like him to do that.
But in fairness, and you're peeling back the curtain here, but that has nothing to do with the football or anything else going on. That was an offhand comment I made.
Maybe not, but you want to be brought to your knees today is what you're looking for.
Excuse me?
Yeah, let's avoid that. The Knicks took care of the slapping him in the face yesterday afternoon.
Didn't help.
Ugh. How about show up and play?
That was awful, wasn't it?
Awful. New York City's got to be better, too. New York City has to be better.
Why are you blaming the city?
Well, that team played on Friday. That's a 1 o'clock game on Monday. The city's got to be better. The city is supposed to win that game for the Knicks yesterday.
Yeah,
afternoon.
But COVID is neutralizing the city.
this is a problem.
Listen, it's not for lack of trying. You saw that LaMelo didn't play for non-COVID related illness, right?
Yeah, well, unfortunately Miles Bridges did.
They had their best player and this was a 10-point game. That was not a 10-point game.
No, that was all the optics. They scored the last 10 points of the game. They trailed by double digits for the last 30 minutes of the game.
And they didn't even have that Fugazi run. Like, how often do you watch a game in the NBA where there's not at least that one moment? You're like, oh, well, you know what? We were down 21, but now it's 7, and we at least have a modicum of a chance.
No.
That there was no chance to ever win that game yesterday for the Knicks.
No, no. That was like, hey, let's ease into this 1 o'clock game. And Charlotte was like, no, no, no. We lost to Orlando at home on Friday. We will not be easing into this game. Miles Bridges drops 22 in the first quarter.
and then
you were chasing the whole game. He got crushed.
They got absolutely crushed. Well, here's the nice thing. You're right back at it tonight.
No, that's good. And they need to respond.
They better respond.
But that's a missed opportunity.
Well, that's a team you're chasing. That's a team you're right behind. We discussed it and went through all the standings yesterday. And you come out and you give us that. And listen, I'm still not sold, and it's going to take a while to sell me on this team. But I was starting to kind of believe a little bit that things were trending in the right direction. Right? They were winning games. They were playing well at home. They were winning at home. And all of a sudden, this looked like they were a better version of themselves. All of that goodwill kind of got ripped away from me yesterday.
Well, I just don't know. I mean, at a certain point, like, you need to realize, like, and I'm sure, I mean, the fans have already realized this. Maybe the team is a little late to the party. Like, as well as things have been going, you're not good enough to just show up and ease into a game against a team that you're chasing in the standings, even without LaMelo Ball. Like, that's the reality of who you are as a team. Like, you need to show up and play hard. And if you don't, you're not going to like the results. And that's what happened yesterday. They tried to ease their way into the game. They get down. I mean, what they have one lead? Were they up 12-11, and then that was it?
That went one lead in the entire game.
I mean, they missed 8 free throws in the first half. You had 10 misses in the paint, 7 turnovers. You shot 37%. You didn't show up.
Can I suggest something, too? When Julius Randle is terrible, and I'm not saying play him instead of Randle typically, but when Randle is, can I see more Obi Toppin, please?
Oh,
what did he play,
too?
4 minutes in the first half?
Yeah, he had, what, 7 points?
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that's the clunkiness of how this roster is built. Like, when Obi plays well, you know Tibbs doesn't like to go small, so it's, I'm going to take out Julius Randle, who's supposed to be my best player, and replace him with Obi?
Well, if Julius Randle looks like that?
No, I know, but didn't we talk about this with the whole thumbs down thing? Like, don't you get the vibe from Julius Randle is that guy, like, he's one of those guys that you need to try to do your best to keep engaged and keep happy, because you could make things miserable for everybody else.
So now I have to placate him? Now it's like I have to worry about the ego and the mindset of Julius Randle? I can't just do what's best for the team. I have to massage him during the game?
Well, I don't even know if it's massage. It's just like he's got one of those personalities. Like, he's the one that sets the tone. And if he's in a bad mood, you know, guys, I think, are a little bit intimidated by him. So now, you know, everyone feels like they have to be in a bad mood. Like, you're kind of walking on eggshells around him. And they don't have, here's the other thing, though, too. And we know that they struggle when teams play zone defense. But when you play against the zone and you do find a way to get into the paint, you got to make those shots. And when you do kick it out, you can't hesitate. You got to make those shots. You got an offensive rebound. They don't have a point guard. That really is the crux of the issue, is they don't have a point guard right now, which is a humongous problem.
You're not wrong, but this has not changed. I mean, we've had this conversation for how long now?
Well, since I've been a Knicks fan, we've had this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's been an issue for forever and ever and ever. Just the fact that that this soundbite exists, and I haven't heard it, but just the fact that this exists gets me upset. Tom Thibodeau, after the game, do you think your team got a little complacent out there?
You know, I wouldn't say complacency. I think that's the challenge of the league. If you want to find an excuse, you can do so every night. There's something. And the challenge is, okay, you got to be ready to play. You got to come in and understand what goes into winning. And you have to put the same effort into it every game. And for the most part, our guys are very good at that. The challenge for us on this one was the travel, early start, you know, back-to-back tomorrow. So just be ready.
I hear a lot of excuses in that answer.
Well, what else are you going to say? And that's what it was. I don't care why, you know, I don't care what the reasons are, but that's what it looked like, is that they didn't show up ready to play. Charlotte showed up. They weren't. And whatever you want to blame it on, you know, as a player, some guys have a hard time getting themselves into a game, and you know, with the early start. I love the early start. Just because, you know.
Of course you do.
Well, you know how crazy I am, so the earlier the better. I mean, if we could start at 9 a.m., it'd be great. Just wake up and play. But it usually takes a guy, you know, a couple minutes to get their legs underneath them and get going. And that
but
was,
let me ask you this: what time was the game for Charlotte?
Same time.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And did Charlotte have their best player?
Not one of their best players. No.
And who was home?
The Knicks were home, Dave.
Okay, so enough. I'm not saying you're making them, but I don't want to hear the excuses. It was the same thing for Charlotte. It was a 1 o'clock game for them. They didn't have, I think, arguably their best player. They're on the road. At a minimum, compete in the game. At a minimum.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, though. I mean, we talk about this all the time, is that, you know, a fan doesn't want to hear any excuses. Because you're right. They feel the same way that you feel. I mean, Charlotte's dealing with a 1 o'clock start, too. And they had no problem dealing with it. Miles Bridges had no problem getting up for the 1 o'clock start. Because he dropped 22 in your face in the first quarter.
That's a lot of points in the quarter. A
lot of points. 20 in the first half. So, yeah, you're right. Now they got to bounce back tonight.
That's right. So Knicks lose tonight, and you'd feel a way about it tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy about it, no.
Yeah. See, for me, Knicks win tonight, yesterday's game, it almost goes away. Almost.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, you don't want to lose this momentum. You don't. I mean, because, again, I think for me and you at least, is what we've seen so far up to this point, I don't necessarily know if I trust this team yet. And as things started to get, you know, RJ goes on this little run and they start winning these games. It's like, okay, you know, maybe I can buy back in. And then you see a performance like yesterday and they don't show up to start that game. If they follow that up with another dud tonight, then yeah, I mean, it's all that goodwill they started to build up maybe goes away.
Yeah, very quickly. I don't trust them. And maybe there's Knicks fans saying, oh, you know, it's not right of you. I don't. I don't know how I can. I've just seen too much mediocre basketball from them this season. They have too many flaws right now. I think they'll get into the play-in tournament, but beyond that, I have very little expectations for this team. And maybe that's wrong, and hopefully I'm wrong. I'd like to be, but I don't know. That's how I feel right now.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, you're missing, you know, arguably your most consistent player, or he was your most consistent player before he went out with Derrick
Rose. With Derrick Rose?
Which changes everything.
Fair.
So, I mean, you don't have him, you know, no Kemba. Like I mentioned, like, you don't have a legitimate point guard, so you're asking guys to do things that, you know, it's point guard by committee. It's facilitating the offense by committee. I mean, that sounds great in theory, but, I mean, you can't count on that every night. Like, this basketball, I mean, the point guard in basketball is like the quarterback in the NFL, right? It's like if we're seeing these playoff teams now. If you got a great one, I like your chances. If you don't, yeah, you're going to struggle a little bit.
You see Memphis, I think they're 31-15 now.
Memphis is legit right now.
That is a good.
Well, they were winning games with. Remember, they were winning games without Ja Morant.
Yeah.
To the point where Memphis fans were saying they didn't want. Nah, Ja, take your time. We're good. Get 100%. Get 110% before you come back.
Yeah. Like, he felt the way about. Very talented team.
That's a well put together team.
Very well put together. I think they're 31-15. That's crazy stuff. So, I mean, what do we have today? Today's it's a full show.
Ooh.
You know when you go to like a movie, or for you, I should probably say a Broadway play?
Oh, easy. Relax. Would you please?
What do you mean, relax?
I did go to Once, by the way. I saw Once.
Wait, the other day you hadn't seen it.
Well, I did. Oh, I told you I forgot. Like, I went over this. We sat down. Cass and I sat down and we went over what we've seen.
And that's like everything.
It's an extensive list, yeah.
Yeah, like Rodgers and Hammerstein over there. The better list would be, what have we not seen?
What haven't we seen yet?
Yeah. Have you seen Man of La Mancha?
No, I haven't seen that.
No?
No.
But you've seen Once.
I've seen Once, yeah.
Have you seen The Lion King?
I've seen The Lion King, yeah.
Now, are you the kind of savage that will see the same show multiple times?
No. No, I let me take that back. I've seen Jersey Boys a couple times because Cass and I saw it. We loved it. We knew that Cassie's dad would love it. So we took her parents to see it. So
Hamilton?
I've seen Hamilton.
I mean, really? I mean, you're
once.
So bougie.
I'm not. Listen, we have friends that like the show, and they took us. I was taken to Hamilton.
Wicked?
Which was great. I've seen Wicked, yeah.
The Book of Mormon.
Yep.
I mean, you've seen everything.
Original cast of Book of Mormon. I got the original cast of Book of Mormons and the original cast of Hamilton.
You're like a theater critic. You've seen more than like the people that do this for a living.
I don't even start. I mean, we sprinkle in some ballets that I've gone to. Oof.
Oh my! Who knew? Seriously, who knew that you were at this level?
I'm a Renaissance man.
Chicago?
I've seen Chicago. Yeah.
Oh my God! There's nothing. I mean, what have you not seen, really?
I've seen Gypsy. I saw Gypsy, too.
You've seen so much that I mentioned, like, one of the last things we saw once, which I really enjoyed. And you're like, I don't think we've seen that. Like, you've seen so much, you don't even remember what you've seen.
It's tough with the three kids, man. I don't remember what I ate yesterday.
Oh.
I don't remember if I closed the garage.
All right. Dear Evan Hansen.
I haven't seen that yet, no.
Oh, we found one!
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Really?
Well, I mean, I haven't been to Listen, since the pandemic, I haven't been to, I mean, no one's
been. Yeah,
but
Dear Evan Hansen was around before that.
No, I know, but I was, I mean, once we had Ella, it slowed down a little bit.
Really? Your barrage of the Broadway theater had slowed down?
Well, no, I shouldn't say that, because once they got to a certain age, we took them, like, we took them to see Aladdin, they loved that. We took them to see Lion King, they loved that. The kids love the shows. And then now we have the maniac Rocco, we can't take him anywhere.
Do you vote for the Tonys? Like how?
Maybe I should.
Well, I think so.
Maybe I should. I'm like this jack wagon that decided not to vote for the last 2 years in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I think you deserve a vote for the Tonys. I think that'd be the appropriate way to go. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Could you imagine, though, Dave Rothenberg, his own show on Broadway, and you come out with a McAdoo.
McAdoo, McAdoo, McAdoo.
McAdoo, McAdoo, McAdoo. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, the great Dave Rothenberg.
Corey Davis, Corey Davis.
I'm taking the
Panthers big contract of Corey Davis.
This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Did you mean Wade Phillips?
On 98.7
ESPN. If I were a rich man,
yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. You've never seen Fiddler on the Roof?
No, I haven't, no.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, what do you want me to tell you?
I mean, Fiddler, see, now here's the problem. I don't think it's even on Broadway anymore.
Well, that there's the issue right there.
See, I think before you were going to Broadway shows weekly with your wife and children, Fiddler was a huge success.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, I didn't become a huge fan of Broadway until my wife. She's the one.
She added some culture into your life. Is that fair to say?
Oh yeah, culture, street smarts, you name it.
Aladdin. Have you seen Aladdin?
Saw Aladdin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrific.
Moulin Rouge.
No, I did not see Moulin.
Wow.
Rouge. Yeah. No.
Phantom.
No Phantom.
Wow.
Nope.
We've really unlocked something here.
Well, now I'm gonna have to see them.
You know what I think you'd like?
Which
for
one?
The music alone, Tina.
I would love that, yeah.
Right? Maybe
yeah,
I'll get you that.
I want to see the Alanis Morissette one, too.
Yeah, I heard that's very good.
I just find it amazing, man. I mean, what they do every single day and how good it sounds.
How about what we do? Forget about them.
What? No. Yeah.
How about
great.
Us?
Well, especially with what time we wake up.
We wake up at 4. You wake up at 2. I mean, we put on this sensational performance. We got Superbox Bonanza. We got CMT. We got everything. I mean, Hadestown has nothing on us.
They just sound so good. They sound so good. Maybe we go on a double date.
You know what? They want to do something? Why don't they do their show at 5 a.m.?
No, they can't do that.
Why? Why not?
No, they can't.
Yeah, exactly. That's too much for them. That's too much for them.
There's only a select few that can do it at this time of the morning.
Harry Potter? And the Cursed Child? Put that on at 5 o'clock in the morning.
No, that's not going to work. They can't make that work.
How many theaters can you name?
None.
Come on.
What am I going to start naming theaters for?
Well, just to see how knowledgeable you are.
How many Broadway theaters can I
name? Yeah, like the Eugene O'Neill Theater.
Yeah, I wouldn't be good at naming the theaters.
The Minskoff?
I know the Minskoff.
The Neil Simon Theater? The Hirschfeld?
No. Yeah, I know the Hirschfeld.
Yeah. The Majestic?
I feel like there's a couple shows that I've seen that I'm forgetting for some reason.
I'm sure there are. I mean, you're a man that really appreciates good... Are you an off-Broadway guy, too, or just Broadway?
No, I dabble with off-Broadway as well.
Really? Performance art?
I enjoy some performance art, yeah.
Underground gambling parlors.
I could be talked into that. If I go with the right person. If you were to drag me to one of those places, I would be into it.
I told you, I went to one of those ones.
Oh, my God! Don't mention the ring!
It was wild.
No, but again, this would be one of the stories that we would include in your one-man show.
My one-man show.
That people would eat up.
That's right. 643 Saturdays, we'd call it.
two nights away from my family at a Hilton.
That's right. Dinner at the Hilton.
Hello.
Room service.
Hello. You think when she comes on stage and she starts with that, that people like respond? They sing?
They should. We will when we go to the show.
Absolutely, we will. But we're not going to. Please, we're never going to do anything. We
Why
talk
do you say
the
that?
Game.
No, no. Don't blame me. This is not
dinner.
On me.
The dinner.
This is not on me.
So let me ask you now. When is the dinner going to happen?
It wasn't me. It was Santillo, of all people.
Santillo, when do you
RJ.
Have?
Listen, retro blaming here. You blamed me. But looking back, when we wanted to do the dinner, that would turned out to not be a good time. Maybe I saved you. Well, not you, Dave, because you know, things happened to you. But the rest of us, I was keeping the health of the show. Out first priority, even though you blame
no.
me.
Yeah. No, you went out with other plans. You had like coupling plans.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't around.
Listen, it's excuses. Fine. It didn't happen. You made your excuses. Santiago tapped out. When are we getting together for the show dinner?
You tell me.
You tell us.
Yeah.
Whenever, I mean, you're coaching lacrosse games.
Yeah, by the way, the score of that game was troubling.
You should be suspended from the league as a
no.
coach.
No.
What do you mean,
you
no?
Didn't, see, no,
it's
no, 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 no.
Against the rules.
No. See, here's what you talk a big game, you don't know what I did. I had the official come over to me and say, "You're a great coach." Multiple times. You're a
you,
great
You let your team score 30 great. Goals can against I, the other team.
Can I explain what happened?
I would. Yeah, I can't wait All right, to hear
there's
it.
There's a tremendous disparity in talent. Tremendous disparity. Okay? It's box lacrosse where scoring happens at a rampant pace. All right. So I said to the guys, get out to a huge lead, and then we're going to adjust. So we scored, I think, 17 goals in the first half and led 17-2. And at halftime, I brought them over. And I think when I tell you this, you'll be like, you know what? You didn't do anything wrong. I said, guys, no more righty goals. I said, if you score a goal right-handed, you're off the field. You are only allowed to score lefty goals. That's it. Minimum 5 passes, lefty goals. And I can't help but that they were still able to score.
So, I don't blame you. I blame the league. I blame the commissioner of your league. How is that much? How are you playing a game where there's that kind of disparity talent-wise?
Well, there's a team that's much better than us, too.
Well, why, though? I don't get it. We can't split up the talent a little bit?
Listen, I don't have the answers for you. I'm just one man involved in this box lacrosse league. But I don't know what else I could have done. I was so considerate of the other team that the official came over to me and said, "You are doing a great job coaching this game."
What are you offering these kids? NIL deals or what? What are we doing here? I don't understand. How can we have this much disparity in talent in this league?
I don't have the answers. All I'm one man trying to put forth an appropriate effort from 11-year-old lacrosse players.
So it's like the Cowboys team we played against in flag football. I found out after the season, these kids are throwing Hail Marys, catching everything, 2-point conversions.
Yeah, and but like, we're not doing that.
Well, but I'm saying, why is this team so much better than every other team?
Well, we're not better than every other team.
The coach handpicks his own players and then
Course. We're a school team.
Well, I'd like to see the team. If your team is so good where you score 17 in the first half, you scored, what did you score, 30 goals, so you scored 13 in the second half, all lefty with at least 5 passes, and you said there's a team that's better than you, I would like to see that
team. There's a team of, like, elite national talent that we can't even compete with. And we'll get to the calls in one moment. Can I tell you, we're fine. We're probably above average. The team that we beat 30-3, they're not good.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, I'm very confident. Very, very confident.
That.
Very, very confident.
See, that's like, but here's the thing, though. I never knew. So, obviously, growing up in Boston, I didn't know Like, we played the cross, but it wasn't nearly as big. I came here and then realized how big the lacrosse ball guy was. So I had a buddy of mine who was my equipment manager at the U.S. program in Michigan. His kid plays lacrosse, and he's good. And he plays, I mean, really good lacrosse in Boston. So they brought their team up.
And they lost by 40.
Dude, I went to these games.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't even compete with these Long Island teams.
No. Long Island is the best lacrosse in the country.
Oh. I mean, it was night. It wasn't even, I'm like, is this team? I'm like, Chad, is your son's team good in Boston? He's like, yeah. This is a good team.
Yeah, no, you don't. So the program, and I know RJ's like, oh, please get to some calls.
This is sports.
It is sports. It's youth sports, RJ. We're at 30 seconds.
Yeah, we're big in the 11-plus demo.
Yes, that's what we're looking for. This is, RJ, just think, we get the 11-year-old demo.
We're set for years.
Once we lock that away,
sports!
See, we're going piece by piece. First, we dominate the 11-year-old demo, and then we go 14-year-old girls, and then up to 17-year-old boys, and RJ, it's a process. So the program that Alex plays for. The program Alex plays for, they have a Long Island team. The Long Island team, 11U, plays in the 13U age bracket and never loses.
Come on.
And Sherry talked to the coach recently, and he said, absolutely, every single kid on that team will play Division I lacrosse in a major program. No doubt.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All right. There you have it. RJ, you want to get to a call?
I think we should take calls on the 11 new programs.
Really? I thought you might feel that way.
Why don't we power rank them? Next segment, let's power rank them.
I agree.
Who's different on the youth lacrosse programs in the tri-state area?
Yeah, who's on the hot seat? Who could come? Who could go? You know, let's do
lacrosse. I'll do the Mite hockey in the area.
I like it. I think we saved that. Maybe we do that instead of CMT at 6:45.
See, that's a veiled shot, and I don't appreciate that.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've given you nothing but praise for your CMT. All right, Eric in Manhattan. Good morning, Eric. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. I actually have two sons, 15 and 13. My 13-year-old plays lacrosse, too, and I can listen to you talk about that all day.
So, oh, tell RJ. RJ, Eric has something he'd like to tell you.
No, that's okay. I'm not going to do RJ's job for him. But I actually would like to make a special unconventional request, if you don't mind, as a Dave Rothenberg super fan. I'd like to actually ask you a Stump Rothenberg question, if you would allow me.
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
Please. It's not difficult. And it goes to the rest of my call.
No. And I'll tell you why. Because if I start taking this call now, then everybody's going to call with their special please.
No.
I'll tell you what, Eric. Call tomorrow, 6:45. And
I will label it something different.
I will take you as the right after we go Andy from Merrick. I will take you as the very
first
caller.
It's part of his question, though.
It's not part of the question, but it kind of goes to the point.
Oh, look at that.
Dave, I've been listening to you since the beginning. I
get it. And Eric, I feel the same way about you. I adore you. Why don't you ask Rick the question, and I will help if need be.
Okay, I'll do that. Stump Rick. How about that?
Yes.
Like it.
All right, how's that?
That was his nickname in high school.
Yes, I'm good.
It was actually Coke Can.
Tuna Can Rick. All right, here's the question. It's easy. All right, this man won the World Series with the Yankees in 1923 and an NFL championship with the New York Giants in 1927, the only person to ever win a championship in both sports.
Come on, Dave, this is a Giants question.
No, it's for you.
You said you were helping. This is not for me. There's no segment Stump Rick. It's Stump Rothenberg. This could be Stump Rick with the help of Dave Rothenberg.
Come on. Who would you think?
In 1923?
Give it a little thought.
To win a Super Bowl and a World Series.
Well, not a Super Bowl, an NFL championship.
Right, NFL championship.
Giants. As a quarterback of the Giants.
Oh, you give me hints now.
What do you say, the 1927 Giants?
Yes, a 1923 World Series championship with the Yankees.
Betson Stennett.
No, it's not Betson.
No?
No. Is it Wade? It's probably not Wade Wilson either.
He's Sal Romano.
It's probably not Wade Wilson. No, not.
Is it in fact Sal Romano?
No, it is not Sal Romano.
And that's not Sal Romano.
I don't know who it is.
All right, RJ's saying you have a time limit, Rick, so what do you got?
I told you, I don't know who it is.
Really?
Yeah, I have no idea who it is.
I don't know if this is right or not. Is it Hinky Haynes?
It is Hinky Haynes. And nice. This is, in fact, Hinky Haynes, which is why I wanted to answer the question. So, kind of led into my my lead. As I am a Dave Rothenberg super fan, known on Twitter as Hanky Haynes, which is why I don't generally call. But
you found today to be the day.
What's that?
You found today had to be the day.
Today had to be the day. I tried to get through with this question on Stump Rothenberg on Saturday, but I didn't get through. So anyway, the point of my call is more about how you guys – I know that, Dave, you would watch football 7 days a week, 365 days a year if the NFL put it on. But I am of the opinion that this weekend was an example of more is not always better. And, I mean, the games were so bad other than Cincinnati that I wanted to know what you thought about the extra teams in the playoffs.
Well, I'll say this, and thanks for the call, Hinky. And this is some straight talk wireless, no contract and no compromise. If there was a tie between the Raiders and the Chargers, and now Justin Herbert was in the postseason, do you think you'd feel a little differently?
Of course.
Right.
Or if the Colts beat Jacksonville, of course you'd feel different.
You'd feel very differently. So
teams, it's those bottom teams that got in. I mean, if the Saints had gotten in, seeing how Tampa struggles against the
Saints. I didn't think Arizona was like, nobody expected Arizona to do that.
Not like that, no.
That was horrendous. So yeah, he's right, but I'm not going to base my decision based on one isolated postseason run.
Yeah, but Arizona wasn't a fringe team. Arizona was going to be in the playoffs regardless of if it was
Arizona
expanded
or not. Was the one seed like 4 weeks ago.
Yes.
So they lost four of their final five in the regular season, and then they lost that game last night.
This is legitimately a problem for them now.
Kingsbury, look at what Kingsbury has done in the final six games of every season over the last decade. They absolutely crumble is what they do.
Yeah, they looked overwhelmed.
That game was unwatchable. It was awful, awful football.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Listen, this is going to be the theme. It's going to be something that has to be discussed. No Kevin Durant. They lose again yesterday against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Kyrie Irving was asked the question, do you intend to maybe now get vaccinated with no KD and start to play in some of the home games? Here is his answer.
Kev's going to heal. Kev's going to be okay. We're going to have to deal with that as his teammates. But in terms of where I am with my life outside of this, I stay rooted in my decision, and that's just what it is.
I don't understand. Why are we just going to continue to ask this guy this question? Whether you agree or disagree, he's not changing his view. He's not going to get vaccinated. If they don't let him play home games, he won't play home games. If they don't let him play road games, he won't do that. He's stuck in his stance. This is what he believes. This is what he's going to do. And why do we have to continually ask this guy this question?
Well, why do you think?
I don't know.
No, you know exactly why. I mean, that's what people want to know. There was the hope. I think his teammates, I think Steve Nash, I think ownership felt the same way. We bring him back. He gets a chance to be around his teammates, realizes how much he missed it, how much he'll be swayed. He sees how important he is to this team, that maybe he changes his stance. And that's clearly not going to happen.
He's a very stubborn guy.
He's dug in.
First of all, he's very stubborn. He's very dug in. And you saw last year. He beats to his own drummer. He's not going to make a decision in his life that he does not believe. I think that's been very well established with Kyrie Irving.
Very well established. I just don't understand because I listened to that post game and you can tell he gets frustrated being asked the question all the time. And
I don't blame him.
Well, you don't blame him, but what's your expectation? Like, why ask me? You should know why we're asking you, why they're asking you, because you're Kyrie Irving. I mean, you're one of the biggest stars in the NBA. I mean, you could be the reason why the Brooklyn Nets win or lose a championship.
Correct.
Like, you're that important.
But he's made it perfectly clear. He's made it perfectly clear.
But Dave, you've heard his teammates too, though. I mean, what did James Harden say the other night? We got to find a way to get Kyrie to play all these games.
That's not going to happen. They can want it and desperately need it till they're blue in the face. It's not going to happen.
He's not going to change. Because people want to know why. Because I don't think there hasn't been for reporters an answer that they feel is the why he doesn't want to get it.
He's opposed to this vaccine.
Oh, obvious. That's obvious.
Okay. So what more do you need? Listen, I disagree with him. I've been vaccinated. Almost everybody I know has been vaccinated. But that's his decision. And he, right or wrong, is willing to deal with the repercussions of he's not going to be allowed to play at home games.
Yeah, I understand that. You understand that. But there are a lot of people that don't understand it. That don't understand why he's taking this stand. Like, is it clear to you outside of he doesn't want to get it? Is it clear to you why he's not getting it?
No, but it's not clear to me, but I don't know that it needs to be clear to me. It's clear to me that he's not going to get it. So why do I need to continue to ask this guy over and over and over and hammer home the point? Are you going to get the vaccine?
Because that's
Does this change anything? Nothing's going to change
story,
anything.
Though. But because that's the story. The story is whether or not Kyrie is going to be available to play all these games. Is it going to be he gets the vaccine? Does the mandate change? Because, I mean, fans realize it, media realize it, his teammates realize it, Steve Nash realizes it. This team, without Kyrie Irving, especially now with no Kevin Durant for, you know, a month, month and a half, who knows?
Correct.
How his knee heals up. Are they capable without Kyrie Irving of winning a championship?
With Kevin Durant and Harden and no Kyrie?
And no Kyrie?
I think so.
Well, we don't know. Yeah, you feel a whole hell of a lot better if it's the three.
Yes. If you have all three of them playing at a high level, I don't think there's a team that can compete with them. But it's always something with this team. This team is constantly filled with drama with one thing or the other, constantly.
Always. I mean, that's what it is. And they've had a hard time for whatever reason, injuries, you name it, of getting all three of these guys on the floor at the same time. The mandate, whatever it is. They're having a hard time.
Last year he just kind of went missing.
Well,
this year
missing,
it's the vaccine.
He got hurt.
Harden got hurt. He got hurt.
He got
now,
hurt.
Durant is hurt. It's always something. Let's go to D in Queens, who wants to comment on Kyrie. Good morning, D. You're on 98.7.
You know what? I have 2 points, and you actually talked about one of the points. One, why is the press asking him about the vaccine? Why don't they ask him, do you consider yourself a good teammate? Go that direction. And then if you are a good teammate, if you do care about Kevin Durant or Harden, you should ask for a trade. This way you get to do your thing and make your choice, and they don't have to be burdened. Because right now, this is not a team. This is one dude doing literally whatever he wants.
Kyrie does what's best for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's not a team. When you have one person doing whatever they want, how is that a teammate?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, D. And I was listening to Kyrie yesterday. Kyrie separates them. He separates the two. He said Kyrie the basketball player is different than Kyrie the person. So his decision to not get the vaccine is what he wants to do as Kyrie the person. Because that's how he spends most of his life, as Kyrie the person. And if that affects his ability to play as, you know, Kyrie the NBA basketball player.
We've seen that.
Then so be it.
Yeah. Then so be it. He's willing to take...
There aren't a lot of athletes like that that can separate the two.
I would think there's very few. You know what, though? I'm surprised that they expected something different than this. I would think almost every athlete, upon having a certain belief of I don't want to do this, and then being thrust into that situation, that would probably succumb and say, you know what, I don't love it, but I'm going to do it because I want to play and I want to be there with my teammates. I had no doubt that Kyrie Irving would say, you know what, I don't want to do it.
Listen, most of them have, right? I mean, it's I think everyone in the NHL outside of one guy is vaccinated.
Like, I mean, Andrew Wiggins did, right?
Well, yeah, and I think he feels like he was forced to do it so he could play, which is kind of what they're trying to do to Kyrie with the mandate, which, again, we all agree the mandate is stupid. It makes no sense that a visiting player that's unvaccinated could come play.
It'll
Kyrie
never
can.
Make sense, no.
None of it makes sense. But what confuses me, and maybe confuse is not the right word, what catches me off guard a little bit is how surprised he is that this is such a big deal. You're Kyrie Irving. It was a big deal with Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's you. You're the most famous, most important player that's not vaccinated in the NBA right
correct.
Now.
Correct.
That's why it's a conversation. There's no Kevin Durant.
Right.
Like, that's
so,
why.
So now it ratchets up a little bit. But I don't understand. Like, you're not going to get a different answer. This guy's not going to do
it.
No,
the more you push, it feels like the less likely it's going to ever happen anyway.
It's never going to happen. Ever, ever, ever. All right. Now we have some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. And who brings the Straight Talk? RJ Santillo brings the Straight Talk with little CMT.
To cuddle.
I would be a menace as a teenage girl.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Yes. Cuddle, marry, trash brought to you by Jack Pocket. All righty, so let's jump right into it here. A lot of time to roam. I appreciate that.
Oh, listen, we are free range radio right now.
We're like cattle. Just out there grazing. So,
speaking of cattle, we had a big cattle incident in Yellowstone yesterday. Big cattle
don't,
incident.
Please don't spoil it. By the way, for the record, I'm done with Cobra Kai.
Why? What happened with Cobra Kai? You love Cobra Kai.
No, I finished it.
Oh, already?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's only 10 episodes, like 35 minutes.
Yeah, but what happened to your nap? I feel like the nap is getting less and less.
Well, you know what? Shows take priority at this point. I think I'm moving out to House of Cards now.
This guy... Yo, can we prioritize the health before the shows, please?
Sweet, that's very important.
You have a problem with that, Lucency.
See, that's the problem when the show ends so early. You have a choice to make every day. We all make a choice. Are you going to be responsible to yourself or responsible to your entertainment values? Will you go to sleep or will you do whatever it is you want and then pay the price later? And Dave, you're making the wrong choices right now.
Yes, you're correct.
All right, so. Four teams left in the AFC. What I'm going to do is take out the Bengals because I don't know how many.
How
people,
dare you?
Fun to watch. Not a real title contender yet.
Wow.
Yeah, strong. Right?
I'm going to get Joe Burrow on the phone, Santi.
I love Joe Burrow.
Yeah, sure. You
very,
do.
Very dismissive.
Yeah, it is. But for the sake of there's only
3.5 point underdogs.
There's only three slots. I can only someone's got to go. For the sake of the exercise,
you could make it cuddle, marry, trash, super trash.
Would you like to do that?
No.
All right.
Because
You
disparaged the Bengals already.
What would the sound effect for Super Trash be?
That's on you.
All right. So, I ask you, cuddle, marry, trash these three AFC teams in terms of most likely to get to the Super Bowl. The Titans, the Chiefs, and the Bills.
All right. Rick, I think Rick could answer for me, but I have my answer all lined up and ready to go.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead. Guess.
I guess you're going to marry the Bills. I guess you're going to cuddle the Titans, and then you're going to trash Kansas City.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Just what I mean, no.
Well, you think Buffalo's going to get to the Super Bowl. You're going to marry that. You said that yesterday.
Yes.
Well, they're playing Kansas City.
Yes, but they also will be playing Tennessee at some point. I think if there's a team that will get Buffalo, it is Kansas City. So I'm going to marry Buffalo. Cuddle Kansas City and trash the Titans. I've said it all year. I do not believe the Titans get to the Super Bowl. You know what the best thing for my argument would be?
Your logic makes no sense, though.
No, it makes perfect sense.
No, it doesn't.
It makes perfect sense.
No, it doesn't.
Because I think if there's a team that's going to beat Buffalo, it will be
terrible.
Kansas City, not Tennessee.
RJ, explain it to him. I mean, you're a man of intelligence. Explain
RJ, I would be shocked if you took Rick's side in this. Go ahead.
Well, so if I'm getting this right, Dave, just knowing how you approach things, you're saying that the Chiefs and Bills, this is your Super Bowl this
week. That's correct. The winner of the Chiefs and Bills goes to the Super Bowl, yes.
No, but do you think the winner of this game wins it? Because I know how you feel about the Bills.
I think Buffalo wins the Super Bowl.
Which, again, makes your Cuddle Marry Trash that much worse.
No, it doesn't make it worse. RJ,
it makes it worse.
And I want your honest assessment. Do you understand why I gave you the range that I just did?
I do.
See? He gets it. Rick, this is you. This is a you issue.
No. You just told us that you think you feel so good about the Bills that they're going to not only get the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. So you're doing more than marrying them. This is no prenup. So they play the Chiefs. Do you think that Tennessee is going to beat the Bengals in Tennessee?
Correct.
Okay, so they're in the AFC Championship game. Kansas City is not in the AFC Championship game.
Well, what you're not understanding is if there's a team that I believe can beat Buffalo, it's Kansas City and not Tennessee.
Are we overthinking this?
No, so what you're saying is you don't really trust
crazy.
Buffalo that much.
He's absolutely crazy. The only thing that can make me feel more confident is at 7:35 if Mike Tannenbaum tells us he loves the Titans to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh,
the only he's thing going that can make
to.
Me feel better.
You know he's going to.
Good.
He's going to love them. Rested Derrick Henry.
Oh,
Mike Vrabel, coach of the year.
Make me feel great. And you know what? Stop jumping my answers.
Hey, your answer made no sense.
It makes perfect sense. It
makes terrible sense.
You don't make sense. You know what? You're focused on Broadway. Focus on our show.
All right. I'm going to play the game the right way. I'm going to marry Kansas City. I'm going to cuddle Tennessee. And then I'm going to politely, delicately place Buffalo in the garbage.
You're trashing Buffalo?
Well, if I think Kansas City's going to beat Buffalo and Tennessee's going to be in the AFC Championship game, ipso facto, those need to be the first two.
Rick is taking a literal approach.
Oh,
like if one team moves on, one team must be eliminated.
Exactly right.
It's impossible.
All right, we're going to do the same exercise in the NFC. So if ever there were a need for a super trash, a fourth team, it could be because...
How about a garbage disposal?
All right. So Cuddle Mary Trash Garbage Disposal, the Packers, Bucks, Rams, and if you feel so inclined to use the garbage disposal, the 49ers.
Ooh. This is a tough one.
Go ahead, you're up.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to... I'm going to garbage disposal the Niners.
This is garbage!
I am going to... See, I think there's something to be said about Stafford winning his first playoff game. That this will only add to his confidence, but I don't trust him still. I think Tampa's going to get Fournette back. All right, so I'll marry Green Bay, I'll cuddle Tampa, and I will politely discard of the Rams.
That's the only answer. I'm not going to waste time. I'm not incorporating a garbage disposal into mine. It's Cuddle Mary Trash.
But garbage, yeah.
The name of the segment.
By the way, Matthew Stafford was asked about his first playoff win. He seems pretty nonchalant for a guy that I believe it took 13 years to get to this point.
I think it means a lot more to you guys and all that. I mean, I just want to be a part of this team and help us win. So I trust in myself, trust in my abilities, trust in my teammates. Go out there and play and let the chips fall where they may.
They could have put you at quarterback and they would have won that game yesterday.
Me or Rick?
Either.
Well, I think Rick is more believable than me, but... I like to think...
RJ would have made Kyler Murray look like a giant.
I have heard he's roughly my height.
What do you... Why do you do that?
What?
Take shots at poor RJ.
I have heard that, though. I have people that have been around him that he's
what
not...
What are you, 5'7"?
5'7", 5'8". But
how dare you?
For whatever the program says that he's... You know, 5'10", 5'11", I've heard.
No, that's not true. Yeah, you wear lifts? You ever wear lifts or no?
See, you chastise Rick, and then now you have cheap shots your own.
Well, because now that it's open.
By the way, where's my fruit basket? Where is it?
You know what? It's been ordered. How dare you? I tell you a gift is on the way, and now you demand to know where it is?
That's right.
I should call and cancel it.
RJ, I got a delicious tomato I can show you on the Zoom. I can send you.
Please don't.
HR. You're ruining CMT.
When does HR wake up?
RJ, go.
All right.
It's a little veiny.
No. Oh, for God's sakes.
Always one step too far.
Kill me.
All right. Let's do one more and then get out of here before we all get fired. So Dave revealed earlier that he coached his son's lacrosse team to an astounding 30-3 victory. Do I have that score right, Dave?
30-3, yeah.
It's embarrassing.
27 goal margin of victory. So, Cuddle Mary Trash, the most likely result of how they got to that point. Was it because Dave is
I don't appreciate this at all, by the way. So,
because Dave is a great coach, as a referee told him. Was it because that very same referee... which is probably just a big fan of Dave, likely fixed the game.
I don't think he knew who I was.
Well, everyone knows who you are. Very popular show. Or was it because Dave's wife, Sherry, Probably only lets him coach against teams they are superior, in a superior class to.
Can I tell you, give you a little more background on this before you answer the question?
Sure.
So Sherry had a funeral to go to and was uncertain if she would be able to make the game on time. So she said, you know what? I'm just going to let you coach the game regardless. And then she was able to make it on time, but she stood on the side. And when the kids came off, she gave them kind of like tutorials of what they're doing well and not well.
The actual coaching.
She did the actual coaching, and I just did the subbing during the game.
Yes. You just roamed around the bench.
Well, I yelled, yeah.
What were you yelling? I'm just curious.
I expect maximum effort consistently is what I'm looking for.
He opened and closed the door is what he did.
No. I'm on the side.
Oh, all righty, so.
What are the three again?
Is Dave a great coach? Did the referee lean towards Dave because he's a fan, or did Sherry just let you coach because she knew even you couldn't lose this game?
I will marry Sherry allowed me to coach this one because she
it's the only answer.
She knew that I would have nothing but success. I will cuddle great coach. Aww. The referee had no idea who I was and came over and quietly, you know, said to me, listen, I think you're doing a great job making them go left, and you really get youth sports. So I will trash
you
them.
Get youth sports by winning by 27.
You get, well, there's nothing I could do. We had a 5-pass rule. We made it a 10-pass rule with 10 minutes to go in the game.
This sounds like a Fugazi league is what it sounds like.
Same answer for me. The only answer is that Sherry knew that this would be a blowout, so she let him coach.
All right, well, that's a job well done by you guys. And nice work by you, Dave. A plus 27 margin on your coaching record, so that'll stick with you. That's Cuddle Mary Trash, brought to you by Jack Pocket. Play the official state lottery games right on your phone. Download the app. Get your first Mega Millions or Powerball ticket using code ESPN for free. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know is a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for terms of service.
How's your team doing, Rick?
Which team?
Portlage.
We haven't had a game. We won our last game. We haven't had a game.
You haven't had a game? What's your record on the season?
I don't even know.
Come on.
We won our last game. We beat Chaminade. The last game we played, we beat Chaminade.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
It was, 5-0.
Oh, you really ran it up on them, didn't you?
5-0.
You
compared
to 5.
30-3.
30. Listen, it's box lacrosse. Goals happen.
Yeah, I bet.
All right.
Should be embarrassed.
5-0. Wow. Did you pull the goalie late in the game to try to make it 6?
No.
Neither did I.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been waiting for this conversation. He's very talented, very knowledgeable, an excellent guest, and a man who could not have been more wrong. We welcome in the great Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
You know, I could just feel the smile, like ear to ear, Dave. Like, yeah. You're just popping at the seams right now.
Bursting, as some would say. Did we make a wager on the Cowboys going to the Super Bowl or not?
I can't remember that. That seems like that was a 2021 thing.
Fortunately for you, I can. You owe me a gift card to Starbucks, of which I will say you don't have to send to me. If you admit that you taking the Cowboys was ridiculous and they are fraudulent.
Gift card is en route.
All right.
I told you he'd never admit it.
Okay, that's fine. So is it fair to say that the gift card is actually on the way to my home?
I can confirm that, Dave. There will be a Dave Rothenberg gift card.
Wonderful. See, this is why he's so well respected. Because he loses
a man of
integrity. Wager and he instantly pays.
He'll pay because he's not going to sit here and admit he thought that the Cowboys were going to get to the Super Bowl, and he stands by that, Dave.
So let me take you guys behind the curtains here, because I've been asked this question quite a bit.
Bring
How would you handle Coach McCarthy, and what would you do with him? I would bring him in. I've had these conversations with coaches. Rex and I, candidly, have had a lot of these sort of conversations over the years. Any coach I ever work with, where you close the door and you just say, hey, you led the league in penalties. Coach McCarthy, you had 69 penalties on offense. Only the Jacksonville Jaguars, who fired their coach, had more. That is unacceptable. And by May, when I go out to that first OTA practice, I will throw up if I see any penalties at practice. Are you benching Zeke? Are you making them run laps? To Rex Ryan's credit, he used to have guys do push-ups. He used to make guys run who didn't have penalties, so the guys who did saw the consequences of their actions. But I want a detailed plan, because if we go to Oxnard, California, where the Dallas Cowboys have practice, and we have penalties in those preseason games, remember this conversation, because you'll be the first coach fired next year. I am giving you the answers to the test. The lack of discipline on this team is unacceptable, and that is 100% on the head coach.
Yeah, but Mike, big picture, though, and I get it. I mean, between, you know, the play call at the end of the game, the penalties and everything else, it's, yeah, and Mike McCarthy has to answer a lot of these questions. But, I mean, the reason why Dave thought it was funny when you picked Dallas is because he always goes back to, it's Dallas will find a way to screw it up. It's what everyone says. So it's not just Mike McCarthy. It's been the Dallas Cowboys. What is it? Because Jerry Jones is still going to be the owner. Is it the fact that the players have a direct line to the owner? Like, what is it about Dallas that these things continue to happen?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Rick. I would say it's a couple of things. First of all, it comes back to the head coach. And I hate when people say, like, you know, well, this owner is involved. And look, you know, we talked about with the Mara family. Like, if I'm running the Giants, come on in. Like, we're all trying to rob the same train. Like, we're all trying to win. Jerry Jones, hold me accountable for the results. So if you make a suggestion and we don't act on it, I'll tell you why. But you need to have the head coach be able to get up in front of the team and know that there's going to be accountability. And by the way, the other thing that's totally unacceptable, that wide receiver coach of the Cowboys, did you guys see number 85, Noah Brown, had no sense of urgency when they were trying to clock the ball? I'm one of the very few people on the planet that said, with 14 seconds, you actually can run a play. It's far from ideal, but if Dak had slid 2 yards earlier, they would have had one more play. The irony is, they actually did a lot of good things. San Francisco actually screwed up earlier. They weren't defending the perimeter, and Dallas got out of bounds. The first job in that drive is to get over the 50. They did that. They try to get a little bit closer, which I understand. But Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys guys, under rules, until there's 15 seconds left on the play clock, you can speak to the quarterback. And what Kellen Moore should have said was, make sure you slide with 10 seconds, not 8. And that was the difference in the game.
So, Mike, let me ask you this, because Rick and I had this debate yesterday on the show. Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Would you rather 2 shots from the 40 into the end zone, or say the 28, right? 2-3 yards prior to where they did, 1 shot from the 28 into the end zone.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I'm answering that question different this season. I'm probably taking 2 from the 4, and here's why. The way they freaking call pass interference calls, which are, it's a complete joke, it's completely inconsistent. Go back to the last play of the first half of that Raider-Charger game, and while there was some contact in the middle of the end zone, Derek Carr threw the ball 40 yards. The ball was completely non-catchable, and they still threw it. So you're asking a great question, Dave. I would tell you I would throw the ball in the end zone as many times as possible, not just to try to catch the ball, but hopefully to get a PI.
Yeah, why is that, though, Mike? Why are we not doing the guy? We see it the entirety of the season, you see it. What happened to it's not catchable, and we yep. shouldn't call the DPI?
Do you guys remember Mike Holmgren, a longtime coach, you know, great, you know, was with Green Bay. Yeah, and he had a great line, to your point, Rick, which was he was on the competition committee for years, and one of his standards was the three guys at the bar standard. So if you remember the tuck rule, you know, is it a fumble or not? His whole thing was if three guys are at a bar saying there's no way that guy could catch it, like there needs to be some common sense to a game that has incredibly the amount of details to the rules, I think, would surprise most fans. So to your point, if we use that standard, the three guys at the bar, they need to change that rule because it's impacting the outcome of games. And maybe when there's 2 minutes to go in the half, you know, second and fourth quarter, maybe you go to the college rule where it's 15 yards because you don't want, you know, the outcome of games. Because to me, clearly the Chargers were a better football team than the Raiders. And I'm not saying that's the one penalty that changed the game. We could go back to Brandon Staley calling a timeout. But the point being is you don't want some official with some subjective standard truly impacting the outcome of games.
Mike, when you look at the way they place the football and that the chains, almost like it's 1926, run out and they extend it to see if it's a first down or not, do we not have the technology? They can throw slime on a Nickelodeon broadcast to make it look like it's pouring into the end zone. There's nothing we can do better for technological purposes to make the first down more accurate?
Well, the answer is yes, but I think it was Boomer Esiason or Phil Sims made this point on CBS's show, which is, first of all, it's fair for both teams. So, look, I've had the great privilege of working for Coach Parcells, Coach Belichick. If you guys go to any of their practices, you're always ending with situational football, and they're screaming, give it to the official, give it to the official. I mean, you're hearing that in May. You're hearing that in July. You're hearing it every Friday. That's just like football 101. Give it to the official. So even though you're right, Dave, it's not where it should be, we know what the rules are. And then I would say this, and this was the point that Boomer or Sims was making, which was because the way technology is, if we go back to that Cincinnati Raider playoff game last weekend where we all heard the whistle, the technology, again, needs to change where can New York review that play? Because the way that is, the rule is if there's an inadvertent whistle, which there was, you just replay the play.
Plays dead. And
they need to change the rules. They can't sit there and say, oh, well, guess what? You can't review the play because it's not reviewable. That's BS. Like, to your point, Dave, like, if we could all see technology with slime, we should be able to know that if everybody in America heard that whistle, let's replay the play.
But they knew they screwed up. They knew they screwed up. The second he blew that whistle, he knew he screwed up because Joe Burrow was not out of bounds, and they didn't want to take away the touchdown. So, hot take, Rothenberg watches Buffalo do what they did to New England, and now he feels like the Buffalo Bills are his team that could go and win the Super Bowl. How do you feel about that?
I think there's a great lesson for all of us that have been around evaluating players, which is Josh Allen was not an accurate quarterback at Wyoming. Josh Allen was 53% his rookie year, and he's gotten unbelievably better. And I learned two things in that game Saturday night, guys. One is New England got incredibly old, like, in 10 minutes. Like, they're great players. Devin McCourty, Dante Hightower, they both looked old and slow. And that's a big, big conversation for the Patriots this offseason. And I think Josh Allen, the way he can make plays with his feet, guys, I'm telling you, like, this game against Kansas City, whatever the over-under is, take the over. Like, this is going to be, you know, like 56-52, double overtime, last man standing, and Buffalo can stand toe-to-toe. That's going to be a heavyweight championship fight this weekend.
Is that the AFC championship game in your mind?
You know, it's so funny, Dave. Like, no, and here's why. Like, when are we going to start giving credit to Mike Vrabel in Tennessee? Because if we go back and look at the Titans, guys, Caleb Farley, their first-round pick, out for the year. Bud Dupree, big signing from Pittsburgh, gets hurt. They lose A.J. Brown. They lose Julio Jones. And, oh, by the way, some guy named Derrick Henry misses half the season. And they're still the one seed. So while those other teams are the fireworks, and I can't wait to watch that game myself, I think at some point we have to say to ourselves, like, Tennessee is doing something right. And and this is what pisses me off, guys, when we hear these other coaches talk about, oh, we have these number of draft choices next year or this amount of cap space, all that excuse-making and, oh, we had this guy have COVID this week. Go call Mike Vrabel. Ask him about his excuses. You know, Dante Foreman goes in and plays well. And my point is, like, Tennessee's earned the right to be the one seed, and someone's got to go knock them out in Nashville for them not to get to the Super Bowl.
Feisty Mike Tannenbaum shows us here in the show.
I love hate it. When I lose a bet. I hate it.
Oh, I love it. Would you like a double or nothing?
What do you got?
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll lay on the line with you. All right.
Everything's negotiable. I'm like talking to my two teenagers. You guys want this and that. Everything's negotiable.
Okay.
So why don't you make your bed?
Here's what I'll throw your way. All right. I will send you back the gift card once received. if you would like to do a little double or nothing. If Tennessee advances to the AFC Championship game, I get the winner of Buffalo Kansas City in that wager against Tennessee.
Well, Tennessee is going to get to the championship game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right. So I will receive this gift card, I imagine, the next couple of days. And then once I do, I will hold it until the AFC Championship game, rather, and I will either send it back or you can send me another one of equal value.
All right, you know, and chai lattes are getting really expensive. You know, especially with oat milk. You guys see oat milk prices? They're like skyrocketing.
Through the roof.
Yeah. I mean, these gift cards are becoming more and more valuable.
So let me write that down. So next time I see you. So now we're not doing swim milk anymore.
Next time I see you, Rick, I haven't seen you in like 3 years. Like you're saying like I'm around the corner. Like, I don't know. I'm in the ESPN studios. You guys aren't. So like, I don't know.
We'll never see you again. We love you, but we'll never see you again. Yeah.
There's no one to open the doors the time we have to be there. All right, last one for me, Mike. What's going on with Arizona late in seasons?
Yeah.
I mean, this is another year they fall. I mean, I don't think anyone expected to see what we saw last night. The game wasn't even competitive.
Guys, I'll tell you what. Great infomercial about competitive toughness. And that game was won and lost last night in the trenches. And the Rams just whipped them, you know. And you go back to the Dallas-San Francisco game, the 49er defensive line whipped the Cowboy offensive line, and playoff football usually comes down to who's more physical. Matt Stafford played well, but let's face it, Cam Akers, Sony Michel, they were able to control the line of scrimmage, and on the other side of the ball, I thought Kyler Murray just looked really average, and you know, you keep him in the pocket, and he's just a guy, and look, they were missing DeAndre Hopkins, and I don't know if that would have made a difference or not, but credit the Rams, they were the tougher team last night.
That was a terrible, terrible football game. All right, last one for me. The wager is already locked in, and I look forward to that. The Giants. Who do you like that they've talked to? Who do you like coach-wise? What in your mind is the right direction to go in? Give us kind of an overview of where we are with the Giants right now.
Yeah, I really like some of the candidates. Joe Ortiz's of the world, Adam Peters, Monty Ossenfort. There's a number of guys that are beyond reproach. Good evaluators, great people, great listeners, leader of men. And to me, and I've said it before, guys, like, one, Brian Flores does make a lot of sense to me because of his BC connection, Brooklyn guy. But there's about five guys to me, and I'll rattle them off again. Jim Caldwell, Todd Bowles, Doug Peterson, Dan Quinn, that have all had success to varying degrees. I know what it's like to run a team in New York. It is really hard. Why not benefit from the mistake of the Detroit Lions, who inexplicably fired Jim Caldwell? Or the Atlanta Falcons, who moved on from Dan Quinn, who, despite your observations, Dave, has actually done a great job with the Cowboys. Or Doug Peterson, who's a Super Bowl-winning head coach. Why not benefit from those experiences that those gentlemen have had instead of, look what you've done with Pat Shurmur, Ben McAdoo, and Joe Judge. So for me, I'm going young. I'm going ascending on the GM front. But I'm getting some experience because I think in this market, guys, your best chance for success is to bring in somebody that has had success and has experience.
I know you got to run. We do as well. But Brian Daboll then falls to kind of that second tier because of that.
Brian's a really good man. He's a good friend of mine. He deserves to be a head coach. And if Brian had options for those reasons, you know, maybe at Chicago, which if I'm the Bears, I'm trying to get him. If I'm the Dolphins, you know, he coached Tua at Alabama. And if I'm the Bears and I see what he did with Josh Allen, I want to run that offense with Justin Fields. So I think he'll be a good fit. I'm just saying if I own the Giants, given what's happened over the last 6 years, I'm getting a guy that's done it at a high level because I don't need any guesswork or projections. Why not go get a guy that is really – like Jim Caldwell is beyond reproach, really successful. And you're telling me the Lions have made really good decisions? Dan Quinn – Doug, like those guys are just in NFL circles, highly, highly regarded.
Mike, we love you. I'm glad that you're indebted to me at this point, and we'll talk to you next week, I'm sure.
All right, guys. Wait, Dave, stay thirsty, okay?
Oh, don't you worry. I absolutely will. That, of course, is the great, talented Mike Tenenbaum.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.